On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Hey, welcome to the program. This is a special edition of the program. Every once in a while, we do this. These are interviews that have been recently conducted. They are full of all different kinds of information from the experts in so many different fields. Doctors and lawyers and home experts and all kinds of things. So pick up some free information here on this interview special. Here they come in rapid succession.
Hi, Ron.
Hi, Allison. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. You sound like you're standing in the middle of something.
I'm standing in the middle of a kitchen.
There you go. There you go. I knew it. Allison Jacobson is the safety mom. She's a lifestyle and family safety expert, and she's standing in the middle of a kitchen. Now, I guess you're standing in the middle of the kitchen because this kitchen might be a little different than other kitchens that we're used to.
Well, it's a little different right now, but you can have this kitchen too. It is filled with smart technology. And one of the things that I talk about a lot about is aging in place. Because AARP did a study, and 90% of seniors want to age in their own home and not move to assisted living.
Yes.
But there are issues as they get older, mobility issues, feeding issues. So especially when it comes to taking care of our seniors, kitchen technology is really important.
Now, how can that benefit? What are some examples of what kitchen technology can do for a senior or for anybody, actually?
Well, actually, you're right. It's not just seniors. It's everybody. I mean, look, I have my aging aunt and my mom living with me. I've got kids living with me. I'm a busy lady. So what's great about this is all of the smart technology allows me to control my home from wherever I am.
Uh-huh.
And I actually work with Cox Communications on Home Light, which allows me to actually see who's outside the door so my mom doesn't have to answer it.
Yep.
I can unlock and relock the doors remotely so my kids don't have to do it when they're coming in from school or from their after-school activities. And then there's also stuff just in the kitchen. So I can set my crock pot, and through my smart device, I can turn it on and off even when I'm not home. So when we do get home, there's dinner waiting. Now, the other thing, and you can't see this, but, you know, pill dispensers. One of the biggest things is for seniors to not only remember to take their pills, but to take them appropriately. So we have smart devices that will automatically lock and unlock the pill dispenser so we know exactly what they're taking. And I can actually talk into it and say, Mom, remember to take your pills this morning.
Wow. Freaky. Freaky stuff. Now, security-wise, I guess that's what's kind of most important that people feel. I know for a while there were antiquated versions. When people got in trouble, they would press on phone, I can't get up. Remember that commercial?
I do remember that.
Yeah.
And that one and the one where, you know, they clicked their hands two times and the lights went on and all those.
That was high technology. But now things have come even further where they're even more protected and even more responsive.
Well, here's even more beautiful is they can communicate with their doctor from the house.
Oh.
So they can interact with their doctor. They can take their blood pressure. They can take all of their stats. So they don't have to constantly go to the doctor and then feed it back to them. So they can literally interact, do a check-in if you have diabetes to make sure everything is good. And it cuts down on all of those trips to the doctor. So the whole key is to make the home work for you, for not only your kids and your seniors, but yourself.
Crazy. It's crazy stuff, actually, when you come to think about it.
And it's all here now. That's the beauty. This isn't future stuff.
Yeah.
Everything that's in this home, in this smart home, is available now. And a lot of it is powered by, look, you know, there's a lot of things that are running and devices, so you are going to have that high internet speed so that it all can be powered.
Yeah. Are there battery backups for that kind of stuff?
Absolutely. And what's nice about the home life system, you know, when you're talking about security, it's not just all of the smart devices, but, you know, like turning on and off lights and opening doors, but it's also your traditional security, right?
Yes.
So my aunt living with us, She lived downstairs. All of a sudden, I hear the smoke alarm go off. Well, it was that typical thing where she fell asleep with the tea kettle on, all the water boiled off. It happens. So what's great about it is, you know, not only do I have all the traditional security, but I have the smart devices. So when I'm on the road, I know exactly what's going on in my house.
Yeah. It's interesting because there are a lot of interim concerns. In other words, you can have a senior who needs certain help in certain areas, wants to stay home, but yet you can't, you don't want to hire a 24-hour-a-day person to stay with them, which some people actually do. So this is exactly. this is like a long-term interim thing where it's an aid to them in case they need it.
It really is. And not just that, but we're also bringing experiences into the home now. Yeah. So think about this. Think about seniors who are afraid to fly, can't get on, have come from overseas. There is virtual reality now where they actually can visit wherever they are. We actually had an older woman who came from some small town in Vietnam. Uh-huh. Through virtual reality, she was able to go back to that village and see her village. Like, how cool is that?
I know. Yeah, this is getting weird. Because I want to go back to grade school, but I don't know. Maybe I shouldn't.
Maybe
that's too far. That's too far to go. You know what's great about this psychologically, Allison, is that when you're a person and you start to feel that you're losing some independence and you indeed have to be dependent on other people and other things, this method gives you independence back to the point where, I can take care of myself with some aid around me like that, but I'm still doing it on my own. And psychologically, that's very healthy.
That's so important. I mean, especially when you think about seniors who maybe can't drive anymore and have to take away their driver's license. Yeah. I mean, that's horrible. But I know, for myself, I really worry about my mom and my aunt being home. Yeah. So, this way, they don't even really necessarily know I'm checking in on them.
Yeah.
I can see it all through my phone, through my computer. I know exactly what's going on. And you're right. They still have that level of independence.
Okay. Well, there's probably a long list of items that can be used in the home right now. Where do we go to find out what those items are?
Well, you can learn more at Cox.com, or you can go into one of your Cox Solutions stores if you have one in your area and find out about a lot of this information.
Fantastic. Allison, thank you very much. Are you cooking anything for anybody, or are you just watching people?
I am just watching people.
All
I'm going
right.
to cook tonight.
Yeah, because you're in a kitchen. I mean, seriously.
Exactly. I've got my crock pot going for tonight.
Well, that's true. And you didn't have to be there. You didn't have to be there. And it's cooking for you. Hey, by the way, just off the record, there's nothing better than coming home after a long day at work and you walk in the door and you smell that food in the crock pot and it's all set to go. It's, man, what a wonderful greeting.
Especially, football, chili days and stuff. It's
that. Stop it. All right, stop. That's enough. All right, Allison, one more time, that website to visit.
It's Cox.com.
Perfect. Easy enough. Thanks so much for your time today.
Hey, thanks, Ron. Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Hi, Ron. How are you?
Great, Dale. How are you doing today?
I'm fantastic. Fantastic. Thank you for having me on your show.
Pleasure having you here today. Dale is an established author, Accelerate Your Wealth, It's Your Money, Your Choice. He's been on many of the media outlets. He's been doing this forever. He's been doing this for 125 years. Anyway. We're talking about a subject here that I know kind of little about, but the questions are very distinct. And let me get right to it. Here it is. How do I avoid losing money in the stock market? All of my friends, I do this financial stuff, and my friends say to me, Ron, how do I not lose money in the stock market? Do I have enough money even to get into it? They're scared about losing, yet they are excited about making. And that's kind of the conundrum, isn't it?
Absolutely, absolutely. Fear and greed drive the stock market all of the time. But it's interesting, would your friends jump into a motor vehicle where they knew it didn't have any brakes?
No.
But that sort of, to me, that's the sort of an analogy. You get into your car to drive it knowing you've got an accelerator to get to where from point A to point B, but you also know you've got some brakes to slow you down in case you get into trouble.
Yeah.
And the reason why people are nervous about the stock market is because they don't have any brakes. They don't know where the brake is.
Yeah.
So they're worried about, because they don't control things on the marketplace, and when you're in the stock market, there's only two decisions you can make. Do I get in or not?
Yeah.
And when you're in the stock market, do I stay in or do I get out?
Correct.
And if you've got a plan for both, then you don't have to worry about it. And that's what I find, a lot of people don't have a plan. And as we all know, if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. And that's why I find, you know, with my book, I've got a whole lot of set of rules, really simple rules. You know, like one of my rules is for, to protect the downside. As a trader myself and as a fund manager, my job is to protect downside. Because I've never had anybody ever ring me about a stock that's rising in value that they're worried about. I only ever ring falling away.
Correct.
So I always say, well, if you protect the downside, forget about the upside. Let it happen and let it unfold. But just have a rule that if it starts to fall away, get out. And once you've got that rule, it doesn't matter what's going on the Dow. It doesn't matter what's going on the S&P. It doesn't matter who the president is. It doesn't matter anything. Yeah. It's just you have a little line in the sand to go, I will be out if the stock falls to this point.
Okay, that makes sense.
And can be a moving point.
Yeah. Mm. Well, so your point is you may lose a little, but you can avoid losing a lot. In other words, you would make a move until there was somewhat of a little slip.
Correct. And one of the big things that I teach, I've been teaching traders for 20-plus years and helping investors and traders to get into the market. From people who have never bought a stock in their life to people that were full-time, getting a full-time income out of the market, and I've bought a lot. But I often say to people, the golden rule is always trade on confirmation and not speculation.
Yeah.
And a lot of your friends probably try and do a lot of speculation on it. Most people, they're speculating. So they might speculate what the new Facebook is, or the new Apple, or the new Microsoft, or the new Netflix. Who's that going to be? Right now, there's a lot of news about Tesla at the moment. You know, people jumped on Tesla shares a few years ago because they thought, wow, Tesla. And it's come back over the recent times because of some of the things that Elon Musk has been doing, and people are a little bit worried. They're spending more money than they're making, and that's fair enough. But don't try and find the next best thing. Go for boring. Go for the GEs, go for your Proctors and Gamble, go for your Pfizer's, go for your JP Morgan, go for the real good, solid companies that have been around.
Yeah.
So some of those companies, GE's what, 100 plus years old. You know, it's a good company for a reason.
Yeah.
It's not. But also, once you've got a nice solid portfolio of those good stocks, then you might put, if you've got 10 stocks, 9 of those could be the top 20 in the Dow, the S&P, or the top 10 in the Dow and S&P, and maybe 1 or 2 could be like a Tesla or something even a little bit more speculative, just to get that possible gain there. But if it goes broke, you're not going to lose your shirt.
Right, but Dale, isn't there's a lot of psychology to this, and I think you have to have the balls to do it. If something starts going down and you panic, then maybe you're not the right kind of person to enter into this game, so to speak. Because I think this generation and even past generations were rattled about what happened in 2008 in this country, because it happened rather quickly. Even though everybody knew it was coming, when it did, it was a big drop. I think that rattled a lot of people. And also, the economy in the United States is so good right now, the market's so good, that you just kind of like waiting. You say, this can't go on forever. So I'll get into it, and then it's going to drop. So there's a lot of psychology in maybe we're not all made to do something like this, or are we?
Well, we all are. It's just about knowledge is the enemy of fear. And
interesting.
People panic and people make emotional decisions because they feel out of control. Because we don't know what to do. So therefore, we become frozen. We don't make a move.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we're talking about the global financial crisis, now my book, my first book was called How to Beat the Managed Funds by 20%. It went right through to end of 2006.
Mm-hmm.
This next book goes from
January 2007 through to the end of 2016. Yeah. And I traded the top 30 stocks on the Dow in the book, including that whole period through the GFC, mm-hmm. right down into that 2008 meltdown, and we still made 400%.
Wow.
Just because we had some simple rules.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I show in the book how to do that, and I've got the charts, and I've got the rules, and all the entries and exits, but people can really have a look at it and go, well, I just need to follow the roadmap. You know, we all have GPS in our cars. It just takes us on this route, and so we trust the GPS.
Right.
But we know how to drive the car. But when you, I'm sure you, like myself, when you first jumped into the driver's seat of a motor vehicle with your parents or whoever was teaching you, I'm sure when you got to that first corner, you went, oh, who?
Right.
Where am I going and how am I going to do this? You're panicking because you didn't have the knowledge and the skill.
Correct.
You intellectually understood what a motor vehicle was.
Yeah.
But now you drive, I can guarantee you drive places you don't even know how you got there.
Correct.
And you got there safely.
Correct.
And it's just because you built up that knowledge and skill and experience. And it's quite possible to teach anybody to be able to manage that in the marketplace just with a little bit of knowledge and build a little bit of skill over time. We're not talking about trying to make $1 million in the next 3 weeks or 3 months or even the next 3 years. It's about building and compounding. As you can do something, you just stretch that comfort zone just a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get comfortable with that, then you stretch it a little bit more, and then you get comfortable with that. And to me, I've had some people that are seriously nervous and negative about the stock market. Mm-hmm. And once they've read my book and just talk through things and just, you know, put a $500 in, $1,000 in, you know, put another $1,000 in and just slowly build their portfolio. They just got comfortable with it, and then it gives them more power for themselves, more control. And once they feel in control, then they can go a little bit further.
Right.
So just the hardest part is making the decision to start.
Yeah.
That's the hardest part.
Let me ask you one more thing here. Is it also a matter of trust? Because most people don't know enough to be able to day trade themselves, so to speak. So they go through brokers and advisors. Are we throwing trust into people? There was that Bernie Madoff deal that also made us feel kind of like, well, who do I trust? Who do I not trust? They all talk a good game. That's also another cause of concern because most of us don't know all the roads, and we wouldn't pretend that we do.
Yeah, that's the thing. People's perception is they think they have to know all the roads and everything else.
Yeah.
You don't. And I'm a fund manager. I manage tens of millions of dollars to clients.
Yes.
But my book will teach you how to beat me. Because as fund managers and big institutional traders, we have a lot of regulation on us. You know, the SEC have a lot of regulation on people trading other people's money.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have a lot of costs to do with that. But an individual doesn't need to know what I know to trade the market, whether they want to day trade or whether they just want to be more of a medium-term trader or more of an active investor who's more sort of 18 months plus in terms of the outlook.
Okay.
So they don't need to know much. But I would ask you a question. Who do you trust the most in the world? Is it yourself or somebody else?
Myself.
And if you trust it, so you trust yourself. So you don't need a broker. You only need a broker to actually place the trade. You don't need to get advice from brokers.
Right.
And in Australia, I've got this joke about brokers. I say brokers are actually named because that's what happens when you deal with them. They make you broker. So they make money by you enticing you to buy and sell.
Yep.
That's how they make money. They don't make money any other way than you transacting.
Right. Okay.
So why would you deal with somebody who's self-interested in the transaction?
Yeah.
You should pick the best stocks on the marketplace.
Yep.
And as I said, if I did an article for US News and Media only last week regarding S&P and exchange-traded funds, and I just said, if last year, if all you did was buy the top 10 stocks on the S&P 500, you would have doubled the return on any index ETF.
Wow.
And then your top 10 stocks on the S&P, is Apple going to go broke? Is Microsoft going to go broke?
Yeah.
Is Procter & Gamble going to go broke? Is JP Morgan going to go broke? Is GE going to go broke?
Yep.
They're not going to go broke.
Right.
And if you hold them for 10 years and do nothing else, you'll still make more money.
Yeah.
And that's really the point. You don't need to be trusting others.
Well, we're running short of time. How can people get a hold of your books and get more information?
They can visit any good bookstore right throughout the US because they're in there. Or they can go to my website. It's wealthwithin.us. They'll be able to see the book and click on it to go through to the publisher's website and pick it up online.
Perfect.
The publisher Mascot Books has been really great to deal with, lovely guys, so they can go there and get the book.
Very cool. Pleasure speaking to you, Dale. Thank you so much.
My pleasure, Ron. Thank you for inviting me on your show.
You're very welcome. Dale Gillum, look him up. It's worth it. Thanks.
Good morning, Ron.
Hey, Jeffrey, how are you today?
I'm doing fabulous. How about yourself?
I'm great. Jeffrey Fernandez joins us. He's Vice President, Western Segment for the Medicare Advantage Plans at Humana. We've all heard about that before. And this is the season to be jolly when it's time to make your decision about Medicare and your health benefits and surrounding benefits that are available to you. We have to go through this every year, I guess, don't we?
Well, we do indeed, and in fact, it is an exciting time, Ron, because this is what's called the annual enrollment period, where from October 15th through December 7th, seniors with Medicare get to choose and decide either to stay with the current plan they have or pick a new one.
Most people don't do anything. They just say, oh, what I have seems to be working, whatever, and they don't really check to see, because plans do change from year to year, but if we don't check it out, we're not aware of something that might come along that's better.
Ron, that is such a good point. I'm glad you brought that up, because that is the truth. I mean, the plans do change, and frankly, our health changes and our situations change, and that's why it is such an important practice every year to look back over the past year and say, what did I spend on health care, and did my plan meet my needs in every way, shape, or form that I'd hoped? Because the reality is you get one time a year to change, and you don't think about it maybe right about this time of year. Maybe you went to the hospital at the beginning of the year or your doctor or whatever. And so it's just good to think about it and look. And, again, like you said, you don't have to change, but it's always good to review the options and see what's out there.
Yeah. It's confusing, though. I guess a person has to know what their situation is, what medications they take, what medical concerns they may have, what types of doctors they see, and make adjustments accordingly. It sounds like a lot to do. Are there people that can help us out with this?
Yeah, the good news, Ron, is that there's more resources and information available to people today than ever before. I mean, you can go to the websites. www.medicare.gov has a really neat compare tool. You basically put your zip code in, and it brings up all the plans that are offered in that area where you live. And it's got a really, you mentioned prescription drugs, which obviously can be a very big expense, monthly expense, if you're on a medication you have to take every month for a chronic disease, for example. And you plug in your drugs and how much you take and how often you take them, and it'll automatically calculate for you the expected out-of-pocket expense you could expect for each plan. So information is power. Of course, you could always go to humana.com/Medicare. And also, there are options for you to have an insurance agent, to meet with. They actually come to your home and sit across the kitchen table from you and walk you through your options. So the information is out there. You just got to go get it.
It's interesting. I talk to some people about this on an annual basis, and we usually interview about this on an annual basis. And most seniors and people on Medicare don't even really understand what Medicare covers and what supplemental plans cover. They don't really know the difference between the two. It's kind of interesting. It's almost like politics. Some of us have no idea what's going on in our own country. It's very similar in that sense.
Yeah, there's the alphabet soup, as they call it, right? Parts A and B and C and D and all that. And really what it comes down to is there's two parts that are important under original Medicare that you get, right? Part A, which is the hospital coverage, and then Part B, which is the physician and outpatient coverage, which you have to pay a monthly premium for out of your Social Security check. And there's Part D, as in dog, which is the prescription drug program that you can buy separately, right? You can buy it as a standalone. And then, of course, there's part C, which is the Medicare Advantage program, which basically takes all those parts under one umbrella, and you just buy one insurance policy with one ID card that has all the A, B, and D combined plus all the extra benefits like silver sneakers, dental, vision, over-the-counter, all under one card, which is really convenient because there's nothing more frustrating than having to keep track of multiple cards and the old red, white, and blue and all that.
Yeah.
So the simplicity of Medicare Advantage from that perspective is really far and away the best option you can buy.
Okay. So, again, give me the locations that I can go to, assuming that I don't know what the hell you're talking about. I do, but assuming I don't, and I need some help to direct me into the proper areas, where do I go for that again?
You bet. It's www.medicare.gov. You can go to www.humana.com/Medicare. If you want to talk to an agent, we have telesales agents that will take your call. That phone number is 1-877-877-0714, and we'll be glad to talk to you about your options.
Okay. I probably do like a couple of thousand interviews a year. I rarely hear a telephone number. Congratulations. It's about time. Give me the number again, please. I think people want to write that down.
You better believe it. It's 1-877-877-0714. And that's the number to Humana, and we'll have agents standing by.
Right. Costs you nothing to ask questions, right?
And the information is power, and it's the key to making the right choice.
Sounds good to me. Hey, Jeffrey, thanks so much for your time today.
Ron, thanks for having me, and happy shopping.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Hey, Catherine, how are you?
Hi, doing well. How are you, Ron?
Great. Catherine Bruce joins us. She's Manager Market Insights in the Corporate Strategy and Program Metrics Department of Cotton Incorporated. And we're talking about, oh my God, we're talking about the holiday season. Can you believe that?
Yes, we are.
Okay. This is the big time of year, though, for retailers. There's no question about that. And, we're talking about holiday spending habits. I assume that we do spend a lot, especially on clothing during the holidays.
We do. So we conduct a lifestyle monitor survey here at Cotton Incorporated. We've done it for over 20 years, and we survey consumers every month, and we learn about their shopping habits and their favorite fabrics and their holiday gift giving.
Mm-hmm.
And most recently, we asked about holiday shopping, and we found that holiday shoppers plan to spend about $680 on gifts this holiday season.
Wow.
And then of that, $240 is going to be on clothing for an average of three people. So if you're expecting a nice holiday sweater, expect a one that costs about $80.
Okay. I don't know if that's good or bad.
This is true. Well, if it's made of cotton, then it's good.
Yeah, okay. You know, I remember a time back in the 1920s when, not that old, when, you just went holiday, you went to the store, you bought the clothes, you did your holiday shopping, you went home and you wrapped them and you were all set. Now there's like a lot of holidays involved. There's Black Friday, Green Tuesday, whatever. There's online days, and it seems like there's always a holiday event for shopping. Is that good or bad?
Well, so we've seen, I would say, a mix. It's good for those people who like to go out and be in the stores and get to the mood of the season. And we find that 73% of shoppers say they like to shop in-store during the holidays for the music and the events.
Yes.
And it's part of their holiday season.
Correct.
So that is certainly part of it. And we find that about half of consumers like to shop on Black Friday and Cyber Monday. They shop online. We also find that many shop year-round. So one quarter of consumers say they research their holiday gifts all year. So it's really about providing options for consumers. And those who enjoy those big events, those are a time for them to really focus on that holiday shopping and get out and start working on their list.
Yeah. Have clothing sales through your survey, the Lifestyle Monitor survey, has it shown that clothing sales have gone up over the years or down due to technology things? Or is it really traditional old-fashioned that the clothing, still is strong?
So we do find that year over year, clothing is one of the top items people buy for to give as gifts. Clothing and gift cards compete for the top spot.
Oh, really?
Over half of consumers saying they buy for both of those, yes.
Oh, okay.
Toys and electronics are also very popular, and we have seen those remain fairly steady throughout the years. You know, as we said, they still plan to spend about $240 on clothing gifts, you know, buying those T-shirts and, you know, comfortable, cotton-rich sleepwear, robes, sweaters, as we mentioned. Those are all kind of perennial favorites for holiday gifts.
Yeah. I mean, not to cotton it up or anything, but through
the, well,
of course not. I mean, through the years, there have been all kinds of materials that are synthetic that seem to last maybe through one wash cycle, and then you have to get rid of them, that kind of thing. but I think people now really are starting to understand finally, as they did a generation ago, that cotton clothing and such blended cotton materials are worth the money. It's not an investment. It's just something that it lasts and it's much more comfortable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we do find in our survey that durability is an important value for folks. And even considering sustainability, you know, cotton has been grown for over 6,000 years, so it's shown its sustainability over the years. And then we do find an uptick just in the last couple of years of consumers saying that they will pay a little bit more money for clothing made from natural fibers like cotton and wool. So we have 67% of consumers this time around saying that, and they are definitely seeing that value, you know, the comfort, the durability, all those things that they tend to seek. They are able to find in cotton, which we certainly here at Cotton Incorporated are happy about.
Yeah, I'm kind of mixed about buying clothing online and in stores. I love to do it in stores because it's romantic and it's part of the holiday season. But at the same time, not every store has every product, and online I can really find everything, and I can obtain it accordingly. So, I don't know which one I like. I mean, I guess there's advantages to both.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you're not alone, Ron. And, you know, we find in this, you know, world where people have the internet at their fingertips that they like to blend those. And so many shoppers will research online and then go in the stores and try it on and then maybe order their specific size or find the right deal online once again and maybe even do that while they're in the stores. And so we see retailers really responding to that by mixing those experiences and really trying to make it a seamless experience for consumers. And we see it as, you know, more tools in the hands of consumers to get what they want and the price they want and the selection they want.
Well, that's what it's all about. How do we get more information about this?
So lifestylemonitor.com is our site for, you know, all of this data and the research. And then we also have the fabricofourlives.com. Which is our site for, you know, just more information about cotton and cotton products and what consumers are looking for and what they're doing.
Fantastic. Well, Catherine, great speaking to you, and happy shopping.
You as well. Good luck on that shopping list.
Okay, take care. Bye-bye.
All right, you too.
Good morning.
There he is. Hey, Justin, how are you today?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you, my friend?
Good. Dr. Justin Bazan joins us. He's doctor of optometry, and he's just... well, why don't you introduce yourself, because I know you have so many credentials here, more than I have written down.
Oh, man. Well, I think the most important thing is that I'm an optometrist who, on a day-to-day basis, sees patients, ranging anywhere from 6 months all the way up to 100-plus. I'm also the medical advisor to the Vision Council, who is one of the primary sponsors of Think About Your Eyes.
Okay. And we're talking about World Sight Day, which should be every day, so let's get beyond that. I mean, we should all be aware of our vision and how precious it is. In your opinion, do people consider their vision to be a maintainable part of their body, like their teeth, like their heart, etc.?
Well, that's why there is a need for World Sight Day. You know, so it is something that people aren't always thinking about. And, you know, getting people thinking about their eyes is what we're here to do and increase awareness of it, because it's something that people don't do. You know, primarily, we take care of things when there's a problem. Mm-hmm. But the importance of the annual comprehensive eye care with your optometrist or ophthalmologist is definitely important, because, you know, your eyes have a lot more going on than just seeing clearly.
Yeah.
We know that a visit to the optometrist for a comprehensive eye exam can help uncover health issues such as high cholesterol, sometimes diabetes or high blood pressure. All of those systemic conditions have ocular manifestations in the eyes. So an annual eye exam also is something that helps make sure that overall maintaining great general health is there too. Mm-hmm. And on the flip side of that, mm-hmm. imagine if you're a parent and you have a child who just is experiencing blur, part of their normal everyday world. They don't know how to express that or tell you something's wrong.
Right.
So we see a lot of kids who are coming in for the first time that parents are ultimately in shock and awe mm-hmm. that, why didn't you tell me, you know, that the world was blurry like that?
Yeah.
And it's not the kid's fault. They simply have that as their normal experience, and they don't know how things are supposed to look.
Correct.
So
correct.
That's why we got to raise awareness, Rob, and that's why I'm happy that you got me on today.
All right. At what age should a child first be checked for vision?
Well, you use the word child, so already you're kind of projecting out there. Maybe it's somebody who's already in school.
Right.
One of the things that I want to help make sure parents understand is that babies or infants, about 6 months to a year, should definitely have their first comprehensive eye exam at the eye doctor, where we're looking for major issues that would impede normal visual development. So congenital cataracts or congenital glaucoma, you know, things that would have an impact that would prevent that kid from having a normal experience with their visual development pathway. Mm. So we, as eye care providers, most of us are definitely comfortable working with infants. So in that first year of life, it's important. Then I think definitely at age 3, kind of when they're heading to preschool.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm a huge fan of every year when kids are going back to school, we can get people thinking about your eyes when they're headed back to school, part of that prep. That would be an awesome thing to do.
It should just be an annual deal. No questions asked. That's it. You know, things have changed. I remember when I was a kid back in 1723, I used to go to a doctor who had a little office on the side of his house, and he would put a little plastic cup on this light and look into my eyes, and that was my optometrist all the way through school and through my teenage years. I never saw an optometrist. I don't think we had specialists like that back then. I think it was just the doctor shining a light in my eye. Fortunately, now we have the specialty medical.
Yeah, well, and not only that, the knowledge and understanding of the eyes and ocular mm-hmm. disease has definitely greatly improved, and it's our diagnostic technology. So, you know, when you head to the eye doctor now, you know, it's not just somebody flicking a light on and off.
Yeah.
There's usually a whole series of tests that are ultimately providing doctors with enhanced diagnostic capabilities for mm-hmm. early disease detection.
Yes.
So, you know, hopefully we don't have the issue of people coming in with raging or out of control eye disease anymore.
Mm-hmm.
If they are thinking about their eyes on an annual basis and getting an eye exam, disease detection and ultimately improved prognosis and mm-hmm. resolution is where we're at nowadays. So it's go in, you know, a lot of times, even such as the test that people really hate, like the puff test, has now been replaced with much easier methods. So,
good.
You know, don't be afraid of the eye doctor because of the puff test anymore. Technology has definitely allowed us to make some improvements in that area.
No, I'm never afraid of the eye. I'm afraid of the dentist because that hurts. I've never been hurt by
it. Me too.
Okay.
I agree. The sound of the drill is much worse than anything that we're doing at the eye doctor.
I mean, man, how precious are the eyes? Seriously, I mean, it's incredible, especially with today's technology. I mean, your eyes are a forefront, and don't fool with that. And as you say, so many other things can be detected through the health of the eyes.
Yeah.
Let me ask you a question a little bit off the beaten path here. seniors get these things called floaters. And when they get them, they panic like the world is falling apart because they don't know that that happens almost naturally at a certain age to many, many. But nobody warns them that this is something that can occur. You think you're going nuts.
Yeah. You know, you think there's a little mouse running across the room, or there's flying
it's
your
scary
air,
stuff.
Shot at it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So really what's going on with the floaters is two kinds of floaters. One's a very innocent and normal floater, which is a result of the gel inside your eyeball. So your eyeball is not just a hollow globe, right? There's a gel back there called the vitreous.
Yeah.
And just like if you left a bowl of Jell-O out on the table, it's going to change and shrink up and some parts will become a little bit more dense than others. And it's that natural kind of shrinking of the gel which can lead to those changes called floaters.
Mm-hmm.
So opacities in that gel, the changing of that gel and shrinking down of that gel lead to those natural floaters.
Yeah.
Now, some of the unnatural floaters are if that gel tugs too hard on the retina and it causes a little rip or a hole, and then you get some pigment from some of the bottom layers in the retina. So, you know, if you're getting your annual eye exam and you have those floaters, sometimes docs can see them and they can point them out. They can help you with that.
Yeah.
But if they just happen out of nowhere, definitely go in and see your eye doctor. So definitely going to get them checked out to make sure there's a benign and innocent, natural kind of age-related floater. This is some of the ones that could be a more serious problem, such as a retinal hole or tear. Yeah.
It's pretty nuts. So, doctor, where do we go for more information?
Now, Rob, you're lucky because I know you got a great eye doctor. But for your listeners out there who are thinking, man, I haven't had an eye doctor since, you know, when I was back in the day, or my last time I got my eyes checked was at the DMV, which does not count as a full eye exam. Well, parents out there who are like, my kid gets an eye exam from the pediatrician or school nurse. Those don't count.
Right.
You got to get an eye care professional, such as an optometrist or an ophthalmologist.
Good.
So thinkaboutyoureyes.com is a wonderful website. So if you go to thinkaboutyoureyes.com, there's going to be a great doctor locator on there that you can find an awesome eye care provider in your area.
Perfect. Perfect. Get your eyes checked every single year, no matter what age. Just there's really nothing to talk about. Just do it is pretty much what we're saying here. It's always covered by health insurance, so people have no excuse whatsoever. So your message is well heard. Pleasure speaking to you today, and thanks for making this public.
Thank you for having us on. You have a great day.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
How you doing there, Mark?
Fine, thank you. How are you today?
I'm great. Mark Manzo joins us now. He is president of Ally Insurance, and we're talking about something that we all are affected by, and that's car repair expenses. It's bad enough you got to pay for a car, much less pay for keeping it going. That's a lot to ask. Vehicle repairs on everything seem to go up every year.
You know what, Ron? They are increasing, and if you look at the price of vehicles, consumers, you know, like the safety features, the luxury, the family needs. As they get more expensive, they get more expensive to repair. It really becomes a little bit more of a concern that really needs to be budgeted for.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, now the cars are basically computers on wheels. The expense is even more.
It's funny. Sometimes I joke about with my kids, they are computers on wheels. And if you look at the expenses, you know, we did a survey and we found that half the consumers in the U.S. that we surveyed said that they had a repair between $500 and higher, the majority over $1,000 in the last years, which is, you know, interesting if you overlay that on the Fed information. The Federal Reserve did a study this year and said that almost half the adults in the U.S. can't afford an emergency expense of $400 or more without borrowing, selling something, or putting it on an expensive credit card.
And it varies greatly. I mean, even if you get a new car under warranty, it doesn't cover everything, and then the warranty expires and you keep the car, and, you know, then you're starting all over again with your car expenses. And not everybody gets new cars, and not everybody has warranties. So it's, and you can't not repair the car. I mean, that's not an option.
That's correct. And, you know, one of the things that I do, one of the things that I recommend is when you buy that new vehicle, one of the options that dealers usually talk about is the vehicle service contract.
Mm-hmm.
And it's up where the warranty leaves off. They can wrap around the warranty. It can go for a much longer period of time. And you can budget those repairs in your monthly car payment if you'd like, and make it a little bit more affordable and kind of spread out those repairs over time. And, you know, it's a great way to cover unexpected repairs and also give you a peace of mind.
It's what insurance is all about. It's either you take your chances and you see what's going to happen, and or you cover yourself so no matter what happens, I'm pretty much covered. So I guess it's just an attitude, but when you work out the dollars, Mark, is it more cost effective to have the warranty, the insurance, than it is to pay for individual repairs that eventually will come up?
Well, it's kind of like your physical damage insurance that you have on your car for mm-hmm. collisions.
Yeah.
You never know if you're going to get in an accident or not.
Right.
But when you're glad you have it. But I will tell you that if you do your regular maintenance, it cuts down on the likelihood of having a major repair.
Yeah.
But I recommend you do it. And there's different levels of coverage you can get. And if you do some research, for example, go on mm-hmm. to ally.com/auto.
Mm-hmm.
You can do some research under Protect Your Vehicle and see what your appetite is for the level of coverage you'd like to have.
I mean, is it not true that if you keep your car long enough, you will have a major repair? I mean, that is just, I think that's a fact, isn't it?
Well, you know, you really need to look at your cost. Yes, you will usually have a major repair. My car has 90,000 miles on it, and I haven't had a major repair yet.
90 these days is not considered a hell of a lot, actually.
You know, you're right. It's not.
Yeah.
But then there's other things like tire and wheel. You can get coverage for your tire and wheels.
True.
And if you live in a state like Michigan, like I do,
mm-hmm.
boy, you hit potholes pretty often.
Yeah. Yeah, our show is out of New England, and potholes, we all know what that is here. Yeah, that's a good point. I didn't know you could get insurance on wear and tear like that.
Oh, absolutely. Oh. There's all kinds of coverage for example, service loaners wrapped into your vehicle service contract. You can really beef it up or slim it down depending on what your peace of mind that you're looking for, what type of coverage that you'd like to budget for.
Right. And then I guess there are deductibles involved or not, depending on what you want to spend for coverage.
That's correct. Usually there's a small deductible mm-hmm. That can vary. But the coverage itself, make sure you do your research, because there's a lot of companies out there. And if you
yeah.
do your little bit of research, you can adjust your deductibles.
Okay. Well, there's a lot to talk about, and people probably have a lot of questions, because this is one of those things where, yeah, in general, things can happen, but I think most people know their cars and how vulnerable their particular car is. So where do they go for more information?
Well, you know, a couple places. One, you know, check with your local dealer that's doing your service. They have a ton of information on it. And also, go to our website, ally.com/auto, click on Protect Your Vehicle, and there's all kinds of comprehensive data there that hopefully will help you make the right decision.
Good. Let me ask you one more question a little bit off the cuff here. A lot of people are scared of dealerships, figuring that that's top dollar on everything repair-wise. Is that necessarily the case?
You know, no. The competition today between the independent shops, the dealerships, for service uh-huh. has really intensified the last couple years.
Okay.
So, do a little research. Go to a reputable store. There's plenty of information out there with the internet,
mm-hmm.
and you know, whether it's an independent shop or a dealership, either one of them will accept your warranty or vehicle service contract.
Okay. And one more time, the website for Ally.
Ally.com/auto, and then click on Protect Your Vehicle.
Okie dokie. Hey, thanks for the time today.
Well, thank you very much. Have a great day.
You too, Mark. Bye bye.
Hey, good morning, Ron.
How you doing today?
Good. How are you?
Great. Bobby Burke joins us now. And we're talking about, making things better for getting a new start here. I believe that's you're in a different place. You're not sitting in a studio, are you?
I am not. Can you see me? I thought we were on radio.
No, I can see you. As a matter of fact, nice shoes.
I don't believe you now.
Okay, you're right. You got me. I shouldn't have gone the shoe route. That always messes me up. Where are you right now?
I am actually in New York. I'm at the Cooper Hewitt Smithsonian Design Museum.
Wow.
And I'm here with Delta Faucet. We're celebrating National Design Week, and in particular, a new exhibit at Cooper Hewitt called The Senses, Design Beyond Vision.
Wonderful. As you probably know, Bobby Burke is a recognized interior designer, nationally known, an author, and also has won many awards. And we're looking at spicing up the home and kind of getting a new feel and a new look.
Yeah, you know, today we're kind of talking about sensorial design. You know, really, with all the technology out there right now, I think we're kind of losing touch with all of our senses except for sight.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, it's really important to start to incorporate different types of sensorial experiences in the home when I'm designing.
Okay. So how do we heighten up the rest of the senses?
You know, one of the first senses that you engage when you go into any space, of course, is sight.
Yes.
So using different colors, different lighting is a really great way to heighten the senses. For your sense of smell, you know, using your favorite autumn candle right now during the holidays
is
a great way to bring back memories from great experiences in your childhood. Also, in your kitchen and bath, using different types of textures and finishes, like the Delta Transit Pro Faucet, it has a smooth finish, but then a textured spout that when you pull it out, it's different types of texture, and so you're constantly engaging the different senses.
Huh. Okay. Are these? Can I get like the automatic faucets where I kind of like tap them or I move my hand around them? Are those popular?
They are, actually. They're becoming very popular. You know, technology is getting integrated in literally everything in our lives. So it's fun to see the new innovative products that are coming out recently.
Okay, so you got sight and you got smell, and hopefully the smell that you put out is smell that other people like. I don't mean that in the weird way that you think I do. talking about the candles. And then we have sound, what we hear through our ears. How does that change?
You know, sound is also a really great way, especially not just heighten your senses, but to bring back different memories and to set the mood. You know, depending on what you're playing when you're having a nice dinner party at home, one of my favorite bands to listen to at home is the XX when I'm having a dinner party.
Yeah.
It's nice and soothing. It creates a great ambiance. And even just, you know, a simple wind chime outside on your front porch can really create a serene experience.
So don't only do it when people come over for parties and stuff. Do it for yourself, I think, is what you're saying.
Exactly. Self-care is key because if you don't take care of yourself, you can't take care of anybody else.
Okay, all right. Now, faucet-wise, let me ask you a question, because we are talking about faucets. I'm scared of faucets. It's not that they've ever hurt me, but I don't understand them. I know the water comes up and you do things. Are a lot of them self-installing? Do you have to? Is it a big deal? I mean, what happens with the faucet?
They're definitely not self-installing.
Uh-huh.
If you're handy a little bit, you can probably install it yourself.
I'm not.
A licensed plumber is always the best bet.
Uh-huh.
Make sure, you know, you get somebody that's insured in case they cause a little leak. You don't want to be stuck taking care of that yourself. But, yeah, faucets are a really great way to update your kitchen, update your bath without spending a ton of money, but really giving yourself a quick new updated look.
Yeah. I was looking at houses recently, and you were talking about the bath and the kitchen. Those are the two rooms that pretty much clinch the deal. They're the wow factors. It's where you spend your time. And
Absolutely. It's
amazing. And it's funny because I was noticing the faucets, and when they're unique or different or extremely stylish, they pop out like incredibly, and they're faucets, but it makes such a difference. It's kind of amazing.
You know, the kitchen and bath are the places that you usually get your entire investment back in your home when you remodel.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the places that are really important to focus on. Some of my favorite finishes right now, or my favorite finish, is actually matte black.
Uh-huh.
It really creates kind of a sexy, sleek look,
yeah.
And you don't see any food on it either.
Pretty cool. All right. Any other tips that would strike my fancy here?
You know, a great way to kind of update your home and think about the senses is, again, just like updating textiles, mm-hmm. updating lighting. It can really just engage yourself so you're not just engaged in your yeah. smartphone.
All right, cool. Now, how do I get a list of these tips?
So you can check it out on Instagram at Delta Faucets, or you can check out deltafaucets.com/designbeyond.
Okay. And what if I wanted to read a Bobby Burke book? Where would I go?
Our first book from Queer Eye, Me and the Boys, actually comes out November 13th or 17th.
Oh.
You can get that online. You can pre-order now on Amazon as well.
Okay. And, of course, if the name sounds familiar, it's part of the Fab Five, as you just alluded to. So, yeah, kind of know who he is now. all right. And a website, again, we can visit?
That website is deltafaucet.com/designbeyond.
Perfect. Hey, good talking to you, and continued success. Yeah, it's been pretty cool. Thanks a lot.
Cheers. Thank you.
Take care.
Good morning.
Hi, Papatya. How are you?
I'm good, thank you, Ron. How are you?
I'm great. Papatya Tenkot is an RPH, the Vice President of Pharmacy Affairs at CVS Health. And there are a few CVSs around the country, as I understand it. Anyway, we're talking
just a couple
here and there. Like, yeah. Okay, so we've talked about the importance of having a flu shot, but many people still have misconceptions about getting the flu shot. Let's go through those.
I do. And Ron, one of the ones I hear all the time is the flu shot is, if I get a flu shot, it's going to give me the flu.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a big misconception, but one that seems to be deep rooted. And the reality is the flu shot doesn't have the live vaccine. It cannot cause the flu. It simply protects you from the flu. It might cause some slight symptoms when you begin taking the vaccination. That's normal soreness in the area. You might get a bit of a cold-like symptoms. Those go away, but it really does and is the best defense to protect you from the flu.
Okay.
The other thing we hear a lot, too, is, you know, either it's too early or it's too late. It's still sunny outside. It's kind of warm. Are we sure I really need to do it now?
Mm-hmm.
I've still got plenty of time. Flu season doesn't begin until October, doesn't peak until February. And the reality behind that, it is never too early to receive a flu shot. And it also takes 2 weeks in order for your body to build up that immunity to ensure that you are 100% protected.
Hmm.
So for us in our CVS pharmacies, MinuteClinic locations, the flu shot has been available for several weeks and is available. And our recommendation is to get it as soon as you can because that peak can occur at any point in time and you want to make sure you're protected.
Okay. What about people who say that they have egg allergies and they think that there's egg in there?
Well, so there is a solution for that as well, and that's legitimate. People who have egg allergies obviously cannot receive a traditional flu shot, but there is a vaccine, FluBlock, that can be requested at the CVS pharmacy to be able to receive, and that's specifically for people who have egg allergies. It's not made of the same way as the other flu vaccination is, and so it's perfectly safe and for those individuals with that particular allergy.
Okay. I don't want to call people babies or anything, but is it possible that some people really don't like to have needles in their arm?
It absolutely is. I mean, there are many people for, you know, whether it's your normal vaccinations or the flu shot, you're nervous and you just get sick when you have to have a needle done. And, you know, the traditional flu vaccine is most recommended, but there are alternatives to that. So there's an intradermal portion of the vaccine. CVS Pharmacy doesn't carry it, but it's available. And it's got a much, much smaller needle that, you know, won't be as intimidating as maybe the regular flu vaccine. And in some cases, this year, the CDC has, in fact, you know, is recommending as an alternative a nasal form
yes.
of a flu vaccine, which, again, the injectable is preferred. We don't carry, at CVS Pharmacy, we don't carry the nasal, but it is another yeah. option for people who really cannot tolerate a needle at all.
Mm. Do you believe that someday it will all be nasal and that people will have absolutely no excuse whatsoever?
I don't know. I really don't know. I mean, I'm not seeing that trend, but then I'm not sitting in in the science
That's
rooms
true.
And
the
FDA, but I don't know. Hopefully, again, the vaccine is such a great way of first line defense
yeah.
for the flu that hopefully we can get past that.
Now, pharmacies have really stepped up. The fact that you can get the flu shot in a pharmacy is incredible, to be honest with you. I remember one year I got a flu shot in the frozen food aisle of a supermarket, which is very odd. but I did. But that makes it extremely convenient to the point where nobody has got any excuse not to have the flu shot. So that's a wonderful thing. Are the CVS pharmacy people, they administer the flu shot, or do they bring somebody in? How does that work?
Nope, that's right. So as a pharmacist myself and a CVS pharmacist, too, in the day, mm-hmm. In the stores, yes, that's something that, you know, we're trained to do and we're able to do. And all of our 9,800 stores across the country have pharmacists morning, night, weekends, evenings that are accessible and ready to provide a flu shot. So the same way you were able to receive it on the go, mm-hmm. we know that through a CVS survey we did, 33% of the patients said, look, I need convenience. That's going to help me, prompt me to get a flu shot if I know it's convenient. So mm-hmm. while you're going in to buy the products you need at a CVS pharmacy, you can stop by at the pharmacist, and not only are they knowledgeable on other products that you might need while you're there, mm-hmm. you might need something over the counter, you might need a multivitamin, they're also easily provide you with a flu shot. You're in and out and fully protected.
Sounds good to me. I don't know.
Yeah.
I can also pick up some razor blades and also get some shampoo.
That's right, exactly. Convenience really is key, and this makes it convenient for families on the go.
You don't have to make an appointment. Do you need to make an appointment with the CVS, or just walk in?
You don't. You can walk in both in the MinuteClinic locations and in the CVS pharmacies. You can just walk in, no appointment needed.
Fantastic. Well, that's everything we need to know. The point is, get the flu shot. There's no reason not to, so I guess we've kind of answered the question for them.
That's exactly right. And if people need more information, they can go to cvs.com/flu, but get your flu shot. It's the best way to be protected.
Okay. Thanks so much for your time today.
Thank you, Ron.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Dre Budge joins us now, and we're talking about the holidays already, I guess, huh?
Well, we are, especially for parents shopping for toys. It's good to start thinking about these things a little bit early, because the toys that are going to be really hot could possibly sell out early. So it's good for parents to at least start thinking about what they want to buy for their kids.
Great. Now, we're talking about some of the hottest toys on wheels, which is interesting. Are these toys that the kids actually physically get on the wheels, or are they toys that you play with that has wheels?
Yeah, so I think a big trend this year will be ride-on toys. So toys that kids can hop on and ride around. And Huffy has a lot of great toys in this category. They have three that I'd love to talk to you about. There's one called the RC Monster Truck, which I really like because it's a two-in-one toy. Mm-hmm. So the kids can ride on it, but it's also a radio-controlled toy when they step off of it.
Oh.
And it has a rechargeable battery, so you don't have to worry about, you know, stocking it up with batteries and worrying about those batteries running out. So I really like that one. And then there's one from, it's a Disney Princess Royal horse and carriage, which is great for fantasy play. And what I like about this one is that there's so much play value to it. There's the horse has hair that can be styled. There's toy storage within the vehicle, and it can be folded up and put away when it's out of use.
Wow.
And then the last one is the Huffy Easy Build bikes. So every kid needs a bike, and these bikes come out of the box almost fully built. So it just takes minutes to get your kids up on their wheels and riding. So I really like the efficiency of these toys and how well built they are.
Yes. Any toy that I don't have to assemble is a toy that I love. That's perfect. You know, toys that you can ride, especially the bicycles, that's given some exercise to the kids. And toys that you can ride on that are battery-powered actually teaches them how to drive. I know that sounds stupid, but, I mean, it kind of really does.
That's a great point. I mean, giving them a sense of that driving is really awesome. And, you know, something else about these ride-on toys is that they're staying off their screens, right?
Uh-huh.
So they're doing something fun that's imaginative.
Right.
And then, you know, something else I wanted to point out is that I think sometimes parents go a bit overboard during the holidays, and they feel like they have to have dozens of presents under the tree. I like a big statement gift like this that's also budget-friendly, and then inviting friends and family to maybe contribute a companion gift to that item. Like, for instance, if you do the Easy Build bike, to do a helmet or a basket or a belt. well to go with it. It's much more practical, and then those toys have so much more value because of it.
That's an excellent idea. I love that idea, because if you give a child like 10 or 12 or 20 different toys, they're only going to play with three or four at a time, if they even do that. I mean, how much can one kid do with all those presents? They're going to lose interest in some and have great interest in others. But if you do like one big nice gift that they're definitely going to love, that is so much more impactful. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, I really feel that way. And then, you know, the other thing that I always like to talk about is hassle-free. So toys that you don't have to spend hours assembling. You can take them out of the box and get them assembled in a couple minutes. And then batteries are often a huge issue, especially because, you know, another category that's popular this year are animatronic toys. Uh-huh. And animatronic toys quite often need tons of batteries. So these toys from Huffy have rechargeable batteries that you simply plug in and recharge. So they come charged, they're ready to go, but you don't have to worry about replacing all those batteries and toys like this.
Wow. It's about time someone came up with something like that.
Right?
I'm serious.
I know. It's like they're thinking about the parents, which is really important.
Yeah. I used to say to my kids, any toy that had to be assembled is virtually a throwaway toy.
Right.
But they didn't buy that, actually, so I still had to assemble it.
I know. Yeah. Well, this is like, you know, it just takes you a couple minutes, and they're up and running. So, and the boxes are really exciting. You've got that big box under the tree.
Yeah.
The toy comes out, a couple minutes to put it together, and then they're ready to go. So it's there's no waiting time there.
Yeah. Now, you made a good point that sometimes very popular toys actually are not available after a certain date because of their popularity, and then they become more expensive actually closer to Christmas. So, I mean, that's something to think about.
Yeah, I mean, I really think that parents should get started shopping for toys on the early side for that reason. Yeah. A couple other trends to keep in mind that toys you might want to get a little bit early is anything with a reveal, any kind of surprise toy inside. Mm. Those will be very popular this year,
really?
So I would keep your eyes peeled on that. Star Wars and dinosaurs are going to be very hot, especially if they're animatronic, like we talked about, and be sure to get all those batteries, too.
Mm-hmm.
And then STEM toys, you know, educational toys will be very popular, too. But if you are buying an educational toy for your child, make sure there's a lot of play value there. So they don't open it and it looks like, oh, I'm going to be bored. I'm going to learn, but I'm going to be bored, right? Because it's really all about fun. So if you're going to have a toy that teaches your child something, make sure they're going to have a blast playing with it, too.
That's great. If you get in touch with the Huffy people, could you tell them to make some toys for my size?
I will do that. I know.
Thank you.
Like a ride on, too.
Thank you, Trey. I appreciate that. Okay, how do we get more information about these ideas?
So HuffyBikes.com is a great resource for the Huffy toys. And then later today, I'm putting up a blog post on my site, which is TrueTrey.com. And that will have lots of gift ideas, trends, and more information about these toys that we talked about today.
Okay. And if you want to Google a Trey, it's T-R-A-E, Bodge, B-O-D-G-E. And of course, we're familiar with you from all your media things here. That's great. Great talking to you again.
Same here. Have a great day.
Take care. Bye-bye. Well, I hope you enjoyed picking up some information there. Join me next time when we'll get back to our regularly program scheduled stuff that we do. In the meantime, I do wish you peace, and watch out. Take care. Be careful. Be careful out there.